Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the full year 2018-19 results conference call of Kernel Holdings. My name is Charlotte and I will be coordinating your call today. If you would like to ask a question during the presentation, you may do so by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. I will now hand over to your host, Marcin Gutarz, to begin. Marcin, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I am happy to welcome you to conference call of Kernel Holding, during which we will discuss financial year 2019 results and the outlook for the current fiscal year. The company is represented by Andriy Wirewski, Chairman of the Board, Anastasia Udachowa, CFO, and Yuri Kowalczuk, Corporate Investment Director. We will start with the management presentation and then there will be time for your questions. So now let me hand over to the management for presentation.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining the call today. On behalf of the Board of Directors of the Kernel Holding, I am pleased to present the results of the group for financial year 19, which is ended on 30 June 2019. We generated $346 million of EBITDA, which is 55% higher year to year, and $189 million of net profit, which is a 3.6 times higher than last year, and also improved our solid balance sheet position with the net debt to EBITDA ratio at 2 times as of end of the year, June 2019. Financial year 19 was a great year of achievements. We became an undisputed champion in grain export volumes from Ukraine, outperforming our international and local competitors. Farming segment harvested the record crop. The acquisition of the grain rail cars substantially improved our logistic capability and origination reach. As usual, I would like to take you through the segments very quickly. So the oil seeds processing business, the local market fundamentals was favorable for our oil seeds processing business in financial year 19. Compared to the previous year, Ukraine harvested a strong 15.2 million tons of sun seed crop, which is 13% up year to year, which materially bridged the gap to 18.5 million tons of the installed crushing capacity and slightly pushed up crushing margins. However, general weakness of the global sun oil prices throughout the season, we faced almost 10 years low level of sunflower seed oil prices, which has prohibited EBITDA margin from recovering to normalized level. As a result, our EBITDA margin ended up with $67 per ton of oil, which is 24% year to year higher below than last year, but still below the long-term potential. Combined with the record of the 1.6 million tons of sale of sunflower seed oil, it's all translated into the $109 million EBITDA contribution from a segment, which is 42% increase year to year. Infrastructure and trading segment performance in financial year 19 was uneven. On one hand, we delivered the highest volumes across the all business lines, become number one grain exporter from Ukraine with 6.1 million tons of export. The solid early progress towards set the volume targets for our strategy 2021. On top of that, record volumes were achieved on the silos and export terminal businesses. But on another hand, those achievements was dragged down by softening infrastructure margins and negative contribution by Avera in financial year 19. As a result, EBITDA of segment amounted $106 million, pretty much flat to last year. With the largest crop size in our history, farming segment generated $182 million EBITDA contribution with the pretty much record, supported by, first of all, weather conditions and smooth integration of our farming land bank acquired in 2017, but also very effective use of hedging solutions. On a strategy 2021 targets, we completed the major greenfield expansions on our grain storage capacity and commissioned the first stage of our new export terminal in Chernomorsk. Also, Kernel, as you know, acquired the RTK Ukraine company, the largest private operator of grain rail cars in Ukraine, for $64 million in February 19. No doubt this deal has strong value accretive potential, and we expect EBITDA contribution over $35 million in financial year 2020. This transaction can now cover in-house needs for transportation, as well gives us more tools for better procurement. In February 19, Kernel purchased 5.8% of interest in the oil holding. This is one of our competitors with 1.1 million tons of crushing capacity located in the west of Ukraine. Also, the company has a network of silos. We enter into the customer shareholders agreement in relation of VOL, which grants us certain rights, making us the front runner for the future sale process. This deal is important for us, mainly because it's the first step towards the future consolidation of the sector, where we plan to play a leading role. I also would like to mention that regards the credits, we made a certain important transaction with cooperation with two world-class international financial institutions, supporting us with the long-term project financing. European Investment Bank provided Kernel 10-year loan of $250 million, and EBRD, together with Clean Technology Fund, agreed to finance our green energy project up to $56 million with the 8-year maturity. This is pretty much for financial year 19. A few words for Outlook 2020. The new season seems to be fundamentally stronger for our oil seeds processing segment. Sunflower seeds harvest is good, expected 15 plus million tons this year, virtually unchanged, which is very good level. While we see at the moment the sunflower seeds oil prices are higher compared to last year and building good momentum to stronger profitability with the record 3.3 million tons of sunflower seeds crushed in 2020. As a part of strategy 2021, we plan to commission first our green heat and power capacities, in spring 2020, which we expecting already start to contribute in the oil processing segment in 2020 financial results. And also nearby, we plan to finalize the second stage of grain terminal in Chernomorsk, which will add, as you know, 4 million tons of our annual grain handling capacity. So this will result, this should result to close us to the our target of 8 million tons total export from Ukraine for 2020. 7 million tons this year we plan to pass through our terminals and 1 million from the third parties. But it's all following our strategy to 2021 targets. Unlikely last year, farming segment is expecting to face headwinds as normalization of the crop yields, especially for corn as our major product. Also combined with nearly 7% cost base inflation and the drop in the grain prices in the international market. Also important point to mention that we remain mostly long in this season. We didn't sell yet big part of our own production, which will pretty much add both sides, upside and downside risk for our farming segment earning potential this season. Trading and infrastructure segment should deliver strong results. We see the good crop size in Ukraine overall, good logistic tools in our hands, infrastructure margins also remain pretty healthy, and we hope that everyone won't disappoint this year. Capital expenditures. With Strategy 2021, we project the peak of our CapEx exposure in financial year 2020, so $300 million to be deployed to cover both CapEx expansion and maintenance needs as a part of initially planned CapEx in financial year 2019 was moved forward to financial year 2020. However, the total investment program remained unchanged. Also important point to mention as an outlook for 2020 is a farmland report, reform, which is we expect will be going through this year. And this is very important process. And we consider the broad and liberal farmland report should unlock the full potential of Ukrainian agriculture, contributing to economic development of the country. Obviously, Kernel, is, we have over 500,000 hectares farmland under cultivation with the direct access to the landowners, and we plan to be active, participate, leveraging our financial stability and good sources of capital to participate in this reform. So let's see how it goes. So that's pretty much it from my side, and I think we're ready for your questions. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. And when preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Alexei from Prosperity Capital Management. Your line is now open.
Andrei, hello. Thank you for the call. I guess I have a few questions, quite basic ones. Can you clarify on your 2020 CapEx, this $300 million, what is the breakdown? How much are you planning to invest in which projects?
Okay, and the second question?
And the second is on the volatility of the infrastructure and trading business. If you look at the EBITDA contribution, I mean, it's been pretty bumpy last year. Well, one would imagine that the kind of silos and port handling should be relatively stable, and this means that kind of the real grain trading basically was making some money in Q1 and actually seems to be losing money in Q4. Can you comment on this? What does it have to do with?
Okay. So, one second. So, first question is the main and the CapEx breakdown. So overall for 2020, we plan to spend $66 million on a greenfield crushing plant. That's remaining, that's in 2020 particularly, out of 180. Electricity cogeneration plants is a $90 million in 2020. A final stage of the trans-grain terminal, grain terminal 58. And silos construction 10, that's the finalization pretty much of the whole program. And that's 200, that we end up with 228. And maintenance, it's a $68 million. So total 300. Yeah, once again, I'm missing something. Ah, and some real cars, $9 million. So total 300. And for your second question is the fourth, that you can see that the going down for the profitability of the silos, is that's the it's normal usual things because we making money on the silos mainly through the first half of the year. That we charged the drying and the receiving and the storage service, and then in fourth quarter we pretty much don't get any revenues. It's all mainly cost, and that's why it's getting negative or flat. Did I ask you a question or I missed something?
Well, I guess partially because I guess you also had some positive uplift from incorporating your own rail cars, yeah, into the segment. So in reality,
yes,
it seems that your kind of trading was kind of okay. Let's say like this: you say that Avere was loss-making last year. I mean, can you just give us an idea how much of losses were there for the full year?
The it's full
like
year,
2 million, 5
million,
million, 10 million,
30 million dollars.
Wow.
1-3.
Okay. And just final question, which I'd like to understand. Kind of given where you sit right now in terms of your kind of understanding of costs and yields for next year, do you have any idea of your kind of budgeted EBITDA for farming business? I mean, how much lower do you think it will be?
I would not comment on this at the moment because, unfortunately, we pretty much depends on the farming, particularly this year, on our prices because, we, as I mentioned in my presentation, we didn't sell most of our products, our own products in the farming, and we remain mostly long this season. So we will. It's going to be both upside and downside in terms of yields. I think we're doing fine. We did more wheat and better yield on wheat and pretty flat on the sun seeds. Corn will be normalized. Will be lower than last year, of course, because last year on corn was exceptional. Yields this year we came down, but we are pretty much with our budget in terms of corn yields, but the major things remain the prices. So, and that's why it's so difficult for me to comment at the moment what kind of EBITDA contribution will be from the farming. But I think towards the end of the calendar year, December, November, December, we will have a better visibility.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. That's star followed by one to ask a question. Our next question comes from Natalia from Dragon Capital. Natalia, your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the presentation. I would like to clarify a bit on company's view on land reform. What would be company's appetite for purchasing land and what's your view on the potential pricing? Thank you very much.
First of all, we are very optimistically looking at the moratorium lift and the land reform. We obviously will be very interested to buy whatever we can buy in terms of the land we currently lease from the landholders owners. How the price will develop, that I don't know. Depends on that, on the market, and it's difficult to say, but I would think that everyone will look at the current lease payments yield, and that's how the price for the land will build up. That's how the every farmer and every company who has the, doesn't matter big size or small size of the land under the lease agreements, that's how they will look at the prices pretty much. So let's see how it's going and what the prices the market will set for the land. It's tough to say, I would say, but I think the proxy will be more or less the looking forward. I mean, depends on the yield, what the people looking for, and the lease payments.
Thank you very much. And what is current average lease payment for companies land bank?
I think the average what we're paying right now is between $150 and $170 per hectare.
Thank you very much. And what are a company's plans for financing this land bank acquisition?
It will all depend on the volume, what will be available on the market. We think that obviously the fastest volume will be on the market as it comes from the government. And land bank, it's about 10%. I would say maybe around 50,000 hectares we lend from the state on a long-term agreement. But this land we expect will come on the market pretty fast. So let's say, I don't know what the price will be, but maybe 2,000, maybe 1,700, or maybe above 2,000. I don't know, but that's, we're talking about $100 million. Plus, we don't expect that the landowners will be very actively selling at the first place, maybe another 10%, maybe another 7% of the first wave, which will come on the market straight away. So let's say another 30,000-50,000 of land for us. It's another 100 million plus minus. So we're talking about 200 million. I think we have the pretty much capacity to do it. And obviously, we would probably use debt financing or maybe our future bond financing of this land purchasing. But I don't think this is a critical amount which will put us in a difficult position to finance these operations.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Kalim Aziz from Kier Advisory. Kalim, your line is now open.
Thank you. Hi, Andre. How are you? Long time. Congratulations. You have delivered fantastically on the business since we started looking at it in, I think, 2007 and 8, I guess. Couple of questions. One question I have is regarding the sunflower oil price regime. I think when we look at the past and we look at the current levels, I mean, there is a systemic decline in the price trend. Do you think we will ever see the highs that we saw earlier pre-2016, or do you think this is the stable level from now on, due to certain or some form of dynamics in the market?
Answer your first question regarding the oil. First of all, the sun oil, as every oil, vegetable oil in the world, is pretty much interconnected, and somehow versus substitution depends on the premium what the buyers pays. Unfortunately, the last 2 years, we have the perfect and pretty ideal production everywhere in the world, United States, soybeans and rape seeds, and palm oil was also very good production overall in the world. So that's all put a huge pressure on the sun oil. This year, we see, I give you the numbers. For example, the last year, we finished with the price of $660 per ton. On an FOB basis, Black Sea, which is, as I mentioned already, 10 years low price level of prices, what we've seen. Right now, we recover it. We trade above 700. Let's see how the price will develop through the year. But I think the sun oil prices will depend how the overall production in the world is going. If we see some disruption in the production of palm oil, or maybe soybeans in Latin America or whatever, then we will see the spike on the sun oil prices. So it all depends on the oil complex in the world. Very difficult to say.
If I understand you correctly, on balance of probability, the stuff we saw between 10 and 11 when the oil went up crazy, like 1600, that's nonsensical. So we are looking at a range. I mean, the bottom we have seen already at about 660. So we're looking at somewhere between 700 to 850. Probably 700 to 900 as a normalized range for the next few years. Is that how you're budgeting
Everything above 800 will be the dream, but I think if we would normalize on a level of 770, 750, and towards the 800, that would be a pretty good level for us. We can see if Ukraine has a decent harvest between around 15 million tons of the crop production, and we see the prices around 750, 770, we can see how we manage to produce better margins, way better margins. So we need a two component to come back to the normalized level of margins. The first of all is crop, of course. We have to be in a range of 15 million plus, and the prices, because when the prices go really, really down, like 7650, 660, farmers are really screaming. They don't like the prices because they don't really make a lot of money on the sun seeds. So that's all making difficulties to squeeze. The margins are really squeezed in this respect.
So the last question I have is, once you have completed your CapEx strategy or expansion, when we have about 8 million throughput for the terminals, we have done the grain car, excluding buying out the leasehold land, if you exclude that scenario, what kind of normalized CapEx we are looking at running in terms of maintenance and expansion, sort of expansion or tinkering beyond 2020?
Going forward, let's say 2021, 2022, we don't have at the moment on our table, we don't have any plan on organic or organic growth CapEx, except once again, as you mentioned, the land things.
Yes.
So normal maintenance CapEx at the moment, we have around 60, 65 million. So I think it will be probably once we commission on all assets, which we are building right now, the maintenance CapEx will be higher, but I don't think that much, maybe around 75, max 80 million.
Okay.
So the rest will depend on the M&A activity. If we have any good deals in terms of the crushing buy opportunity,
yeah,
to consolidate the market or maybe port infrastructure. So that's at the moment pretty much unknown. So we can't really say right now when we're going to make these deals. But except that, that's how we look at our CapEx program and the investments.
Last thing, I guess your experience with the brown market has been quite positive with respect to the note that we have issued, I guess, in 2017-18. That's the one we did. You did, and we bought as well a long time ago, I remember. So 2022 expiry, do you want to repeat the experience, or was it too painful, or is that how you're looking at refining it?
Let's see. I mean, as you know, we have it out on the news that we plan to issue a new bond in the coming days, and it's going to be slightly less amount. I think the bond market is pretty good right now, and we see the appetite for the yields, and the bonds is clearly is competing right now with our banks lines 100%. So, and obviously it's a longer tenor and more flexibility having the bonds rather than sometimes the even trade finance lines. So we actively looking at the new bonds. Let's see what we can do. But towards the 2020, we will see how we're gonna do a new round. Depends on the market, or we're gonna somehow refinance it with the debt structure or whatever. So I think we are pretty much looking at the cost of the debts, and that's how our decision depends on.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen that MHP did a
note
quite recently at 6.25. That's a very good price, isn't it?
Yeah, the good. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That the bonds market is right now is very competitive, and we like it. And so
cheaper than the bank borrowing, I guess. Yeah. So, are you planning this year or next year?
We're planning this week.
Okay. Thank you very much, Andres. It was very good to see you, and all the best. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alex Ayoub from Waha Capital. Alex, your line is now open.
Hey, thanks for the presentation. Two questions. The first one, I think you just touched about it on the bond you're planning to issue. I guess that's most likely to be used to refi the PXF and general corporate purpose, as opposed to partially refi the 2022 bond. That's the first question. Second question is, how do you look at leverage? So I think if you have CapEx of 300 next year and your EBITDA is close to 300, you're going to be negative free cash flow. Wondering, like, to which extent you're keen to stretch your leverage and how much of the CapEx is committed. Understand the maintenance CapEx is only 60, 70 million, but how much of the 300 is committed next year? Thanks. Mm.
So regarding the bonds, we look at bonds as a total basket of the debts. We don't expect raising right now. If we would do the deal with the bonds, we don't expect that our net debt level towards the end of the year will be different. So that's going to be pretty much the same level of the debts towards the end of the financial year. So the whole purpose of the bonds, if we do the deal, is just to get a competitive rate and refinance bank lines with the more preferable rates, but to keep the same level of the total debts in the company. And in terms of the CapEx, yes, CapEx is committed, and this all already on the way. We can't really stop it, and we don't plan to stop it. In terms of leverage, we don't breach any covenants. The financial year 2020, as the CapEx program will be at peak at 300, we might do a little bit, we might end up with a slightly higher than we would like to see, because our leverage net debt to EBITDA, we don't like to, when it exceeded 2.5. We might be slightly higher than this. Let's see what kind of results we will produce. We're pretty confident with the oil process, oil seeds business and infrastructure. Obviously, the farmland remains a little bit uncertain because we, as I mentioned already, we're still long, and let's see how the prices will develop. So I don't want to comment right now how much EBITDA we will produce in financial year 20, but what I see right now, we should not go too much above than 2.5 with our leverage. And I hope it will be below than this. So we feel pretty okay with our leverage for financial year 2020.
Got it. And thanks a lot. And if, I mean, markets get tough and you have a bad harvest, is there any chance you can delay some of the CapEx to adjust and ensure your leverage remains, say, around below 3 times?
But I don't think we need it. I don't think we need it. And if we would need a little bit of more working capital, we might have a little bit of peak in December or January, maybe February, buying more actively bigger volumes. But the model we run at the moment, even with the peak volumes, what we can buy right now, we're still fine with our leverage. We don't need to stop or delay or extend our CapEx program.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question is a follow-up question from Alexei from Prosperity Capital Management. Alexei, your line is now open.
Yes, Andrew, thanks a lot for this opportunity once again. Can you just clarify, are there any other acquisitions which you did last year other than 5% in New Oil, like 5% or something, and RTK? Is it largely it?
Alexei, hi. We don't have, at the moment, anything for any M&A activity in financial year 2020?
Sorry. That's just a clarification of last year. So the 56 million which you spent, is this just RTK and the oil, or is there anything out there?
No, that's last year. 64 million. This is railway wagons RTK plus 5.8%. I don't remember how much we paid, 6 or 7. I don't. That's it.
Okay. And so I was actually getting to the oil. How does it look like? Is there any kind of timeline, or you just got some basically ability to buy once they come up for sale? How does it look like?
It's pretty simple. There's no timeline. We have five years. I don't know, 1 year is already gone. We have 5 years. In 5 years, we can drag the company to the sale process. So that's the only deadline we have. During the 5 years, it's a totally seller's option. If he wants to keep it, he keep the company. We keep negotiate. At the moment, we're far away with the valuation levels between us, so we can't find the common ground at the moment. So he is operating the company, and if we will not reach any deals during these 4 years, then in 4 years, we're going to drug the company for the sale process. That's it. And we have a right of first refusal, of course, to buy.
I see. And my other question, I guess, is maybe a bit provocative or forward thinking. Given what kind of how fast kind of new government is different initiatives on the taxation and things like this, what is your base case scenario for kind of taxes maybe 2 to 3 years down the road? Do you think that agriculture will keep its favorable tax rate, or do you think there's going to be something else?
What concerning agriculture, we might see some changes. I don't think the effective taxes will be changed in terms of the percentages or whatever system will be. At the moment, as you know, we pay different taxes, but we don't pay corporate taxes as farmers. The rest of our business we maintain on the same tax regime as everyone in the country, except the farming operation. So there are several talks in the government how to put the effective tax regime, new tax regime, maybe some fixed amount per hectare or whatever. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be way higher or really substantially higher effective tax rates compared to what we pay right now. Maybe it will be different form of payment of the taxes by agriculture companies. But at the moment, I don't see that the government is really focusing on this. I don't see any kind of initiative which is planned to change any taxation in the agriculture sector at the moment. Right now, the hot topic for the government is obviously land reform, and that's what they want to kick it off. But taxes at the moment, we don't see any changes.
And final question, when do you think you will be in a position to formulate more kind of profit or free cash flow based dividend policy?
I would think my view is we need to finish our CapEx program. That's a number one. And number two, I have my own view how the land reform will develop. I don't see the big supply at the moment on the market of the land. I think this all hype about the land reform is a little bit overdone, I would say. So I see it's, as I mentioned already, answering the question that the state land will be sold pretty fast, but the land owners will not be in a hurry to sell their land on the market. So that's also important element in terms of, but maybe I'm wrong, maybe it will be totally different, maybe it will be huge supply on the market of the land. So that's why it will depend on our financial situation, so how much we want to, you know, really reserve the cash and also the leverage capacity for future land acquisition. So plus we would need to think about a couple of M&A, potential M&A activities going forward within next 2-3 years. But the rest, we plan to increase our dividends then. So we don't plan to sit on cash.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about like 2021, 22 kind of decision.
Yeah, exactly. So 2020, I would say 2022, it's definitely, end of 2020-21 as a financial year, we will have a more or less clarity how big supply of the land on the market. And we're gonna be towards the end of our CapEx program, and the visibility of the M&A will be also, I guess, more clear. So then we will set up a more clear strategy for dividends.
Okay, thank you so much, Skira.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. That's star followed by one to ask a question. Our next question comes from Powell from Wood & Company. Powell, your line is now open.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for holding Q&A session. I just wanted to confirm that you may think about the update of your dividend policy in end of 2021 fiscal year, not 2022. Is it correct? Did I hear it correctly?
I don't want to take any commitments right now regarding the dividend policy. As I mentioned already, just to Alexei answer the previous question, there's several elements and several assumptions we would need to see before we come to the market and say, okay, this is how we see the development, and that's what the dividend policy will be. I personally believe that, and towards the 2021, we will have a more clarity and better visibility to discuss the new dividend policy.
Okay, thank you. And my second question was just to confirm that 10% of your land bank is leased from the state, 90% from private landowners, and
yes.
Assuming that 20% is being sold and you would like to buy it, you would probably spend on it roughly $200 million.
Pretty much.
Okay. Thank
Once
you
again,
so much.
This is my expectation of the price plus minus. I don't know what the price market will set, but maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. We don't know, but that's kind of the scenario we draw for ourselves.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
If you wish to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. That's star followed by one to ask a question. The next question is a follow-up question from Alex Ayoub from Oha Capital. Alex, your line is now open.
Hey, thanks. So just a follow-up question on the potential capex related to land acquisition. Do you think you'd have to spend all of that within a few quarters, or it could take a few years? Just wonder whether that land scenario could increase your capex next year from 300 to maybe 400 or more. Thanks.
Thank you for the question. Tough call. Difficult to say. Let's say, I mean, if they will manage to release the moratorium towards the end of the year, and also it depends when they really press the button for that. The government would definitely need my view. After the law is passed by Parliament, through the Parliament, the government will need at least 6-7 months to make the total inventorization of the land registrations, and all this paperwork needs to be done before the auctions will set up. So I think we have time. We don't think it's going to be tomorrow. We think at least 12 months from now before the actively auctions will be functioning. Maybe even longer. I don't know. It's tough to say. At the moment, let's see the first stage, how the law will pass the parliament. And that's what we expect towards the end of the calendar year. And then the program and the schedule, how the government plan to finish the whole paperwork, to set up auctions, and really start to sell the land on the market.
Got it. And if you decide not to buy the land, what do you think would happen? Someone else would buy it and they may increase your leases?
Yes and no. If we don't buy, for example, and someone else will buy the land, we have already long-term agreements which fix the payment for the lease. So they can't increase it. There's inflation elements in it, but that's it. So, but that's potentially possible if someone is hunting super low yield and very, very optimistic on a land acquisition. He can buy the land, but he will be receiving the fixed amount according to the contract on the lease payments.
Got it. Thank you very much.
To ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. That is star followed by one to ask a question. We have no further questions on the line. I will hand back to you.
Ladies and thank you. Thank you very much for your questions. I hope I answer most of them. Anyway, we're always open if you have any additional one. So please send us the email or whatever you need. We will try to answer. Thank you very much for your call. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines. Have a lovely day.